Put on your seatbelts. As Kipiladev describes the description of adverse activities. And bhakti should have two rails. An understanding of what is my goal, what is favorable for bhajan, and also an understanding of what will happen to me if I don't do bhajan. We should not think these things are unnecessary. Otherwise, why Bhagavan Kapiladev described it? So, Kapiladev describes the condition of the materialistic personality. Whatever is produced by the materialistic personality with great endeavor, with the goal of so-called happiness, is stolen by the Lord in the form of time. Just like the foolish bee, all summer he works to build the honey, and what happens? The honey thief takes everything. In the same way, time destroys everything in this world. Therefore, the misguided materialistic person, he does not know that this body is impermanent, and the attraction that he has to home, land, wealth, and that which is related to the body is also impermanent. Out of foolishness, he considers it all to be very nice and eternal. Therefore, the deluding potency of the Supreme Lord is so powerful, no matter in what species of life the living entity appears, he considers himself to be perfectly a-okay, fine and happy. Maya, the deluding potency of Krishna, illusion, has two branches. One is called the pinching potency, the other is the covering potency. One branch of the Lord's Maya pulls you from your position, your spiritual position, and then she covers you with a material body, so you consider yourself to be part of this world. Therefore, no matter how much someone suffers, they can still consider themselves to be happy. This is the most astonishing thing. One time, Indra, the king of the celestial planets, was cursed to take birth as a hog. Therefore, Lord Brahma, after some time, felt very much sorry. He appeared before Lord Brahma, before Indra, with instructions. He said, "My dear brother, you are not actually a hog, you are actually Indra, the king of heaven. You should give up eating stool and come back to the heavenly planets." That time Indra became very much angry. "Who the hell do you think you are, giving me instruction?" Saraswati Thakur, Sri Saraswati Thakur said, "Sometimes you give good instruction, persons become angry. Like imagine a boy is flying a kite, he's walking backwards, he's about to fall off the roof. A well-wisher says, 'Brother, stop, look out!' And the boy flying the kite, 'Mind your own damn business, will you?'" He said, "Preaching is like that. Someone is in such a dangerous position, about to fall off the human form of life into the lower species, and the devotee is so kind, 'Brother, stop.' And they become angry. What to do? Haribol." In the same way, Brahma gave instructions, but Indra had too many desires he could not understand. Then Brahma became, because he has too much attachment to his children. Therefore, he is not taking my instructions seriously. Therefore, Brahma cut off the heads of all the baby pigs. Then the hog, what you said? "You are not a hog, brother. You are Indra, the king of heaven. Some misfortune you've taken this birth." Then Brahma, the hog, became a little angry. Thought, "No problem, I've got so many wives, I'll just make new ones." So again, he attacked Indra to try to cause him harm. Then Indra thought, "My God." He attacked Brahma. "This fellow is still so much attached to the she-hogs, he's not hearing." Therefore, Indra took off the heads of the wives. Then the hog, he had no more material desires. Everything was stopped. Then he could hear. "What? What you're saying? My dear brother, you're not a hog, you're Indra, the king of heaven. Come with me back to the celestial planets. There is dancing girls there, and you can drink nectar." Then the hog said, "I'm asking two questions. If two things are there in heaven, then I'll go. What things? Can I find stool there? If stool is there, then I'm going. And if she-hog is there, then I'm going to heaven. Otherwise, I'm not going. Because hogs and pigs are that lady pig that is called heaven. Therefore, no matter how much one suffers, one still considers himself to be okay. Isn't you go and visit Granny in the hospital? She's got 15 tubes on her. The pacemaker's going like a bat out of hell. How are you, Granny, how are you? Couldn't be better. All right. Fine. No matter how much their suffering Maya is so powerful, one considers oneself to be enjoying. Therefore, one time Vyasadeva, and Mahabharata describes, there was a worm trying to cross the highway. And Vyasadeva was, and one chariot was coming, and the worm was, he's trying to make it across before it got run over. Vyasadeva was amazed. "Hey worm," it was a special worm that only lived in stool. Vyasadeva, because Vyasadeva knows all languages, he's an incarnation of God. "Hey worm in stool, I cannot understand why you are so much attached to your body, this present body. I thought that to be a worm would be a most miserable condition. Therefore, you should not try to run away from the chariot. You should give up your body under the wheels of the chariot. You can get a new body." And the worm was arguing with Vyasadeva. "Forget it. You know how much happiness it is to be a worm?" Big conversation is there. Vyasadeva trying to convince a worm to give up his material body. But because the material body is a source of hellish material enjoyment, no one is willing to give it up. Kapiladeva, just see the astonishing power of the illusory potency of Sri Krishna. Thus, Naraka sto pideham ba kim pumsam tvakta ichiti. Even in hell, he finds sexual enjoyment even in hell. Therefore, the conditioned living entity is satisfied in his particular species of life. While deluded by the covering influence of the illusory energy, he feels little inclination to give up his material body, even when in hell, for he takes delight in hellish material enjoyment. Thus, he finds satisfaction due to deep-rooted attachment for body, wife, home, children, livestock, wealth, and friends. In such association, he considers himself to be completely happy. Hard to convince, isn't it? Prabhupada said, someone who's pretending to be asleep, very hard to wake them up, isn't it? Although he is always burning, and ladies should think this means them also, although he is always burning with an anxiety, how to pay this bill, how to pay that bill, right? How to pay for the children's hospital bills, what my child will do. There was one lady I remember speaking to her. When her child was born, she asked the doctor, "Is it a boy or a girl?" And the doctor said, "It's a girl." She started crying, "But who will marry her?" Therefore, so much anxiety. Thus, he is always filled with many, many desires for happiness, like the donkey chases the carrot. The kid thinks, if I can come into high school, I'll be happy. I'm sick of being tortured. Then he's, high school is so much hellish, if I could go to university, I'll be happy. University is not satisfied. If he can get a job, I can be happy. He gets a job, if I could get a raise, I'll be happy. Finally, he thinks, if I could get a wife, I'll be happy. And the wife also, there's no satisfaction there. If I have children, I'll be happy. God, when the children leave, then I'll be happy. If I can retire, I'll be happy. I mean, when I was a kid, I was reading the newspaper. There was an American guy. Whole life he was working, and finally he bought a Winnebago. Those big, huge camper vans? Whole life they're working, paid off the bills. Then he gets the Winnebago warrior. He drives off in the sunset with the wife by his side. The first night on the road, he's trying to pop the roof of the Winnebago, and he had a heart attack. He's always thinking, if I can do this, I'll be happy. If I'll do this, I'll be happy. Like a deer chases the mirage of water in the desert, he goes further and further and further and gives up his life. Like the silkworm makes a cocoon around himself and ends up dying inside the cocoon, the living entity with a hope which is never fulfilled. In order to maintain his so-called family and society, he performs unlimited activities. Thus, he gives his heart and senses to a woman who cheats him by speaking nicely. Thus he enjoys her embraces and becomes completely forgetful of death. Just like a cloud cannot understand the influence of the wind, a living entity under the spell of Maya cannot understand how his time is running. Even now we feel, my God, 36, life is going where? Thus he is embraced by the wife, he forgets everything, he enjoys the small talk of the children, daddy, puppy. Thus, he remains completely immersed in family life, which is full of politics and diplomacy. Hey, put a stamp on that one in capital blinking letters. Remember the family dinners? If I told you about our Christmas dinners, you'd cry. So much politics and fighting. Uncle Gary, one side of the table, and we're all making jokes about his family being a bunch of losers. And they're making jokes about our family, and we're all pretending to be nice, but there's so much bitching in the family. Even between brothers and sisters, how much there is there, cannot imagine. Thus, he is remaining attached to family life, trying to find happiness, but it's full of diplomacy and politics. Always spreading miseries in all directions, he cannot find any way to, isn't it, to cut the miseries and the sufferings that are coming. Thus, he spends all his time trying to be happy, but in fact, he gets the complete opposite result. And if he can successfully counteract the miseries of life, he considers himself to be happy. Amazing Bhagavatam, you know. No other scripture will ever speak like this. It's so much painful and cutting. Even just speaking it, I feel pain, you know. What to speak of hearing? For example, our whole endeavors in materialistic life is simply to become free from misery. I'm hungry, therefore I eat. I'm cold, therefore I have a jacket. I need shelter from the heat and the rain, therefore I have a house. I feel the misery of sex desire, therefore I get a wife. Our whole endeavors are simply trying to remove misery, and if we remove misery, I think I'm happy. Therefore, mukti is described to be atyanta dukkha nivritti. Liberation is the complete cessation of material miseries, but liberation is not happiness. There's more to life than just not being miserable. Therefore, after liberation come the activities of liberation, devotional service. Thus, he secures money by lying and cheating and committing violence here and there. And even though he spends all his wealth on the service of the family is not satisfied. Isn't that a fact? Anyone comes from a wealthy family, we think the poor people there are suffering, cannot supply enough demands for the family. But you go and look at the rich family. The also father cannot provide enough for the wealthy son. He wants a new car, he wants a holiday house, he wants a ticket here and there, he wants a big allowance, even the father's hair is going white to provide for the family, he cannot do it, no matter how much money they earn. Thus he spends all his time, all his energy providing for family members who treat him like crap. He can never satisfy them, therefore they're always arguing and fighting. Thus, at the end of the day, he only eats a few frijoles, a few tacos. Thus his family members who he gives his whole energy for, he can only enjoy a little bit of it, and at the time of death, what happens to him? He tries to raise himself in his occupation or his business, but there is constant reverses. Terrible position. I asked my father, when are you going to retire? He goes, when I'm dead. Pathetic, you know. Put him on the phone. Thus he is baffled in all his attempts for happiness. He accepts money from others because he has so many debts, therefore they torture him when he cannot repay. Thus the unfortunate man and women, you can imagine the same situation. She marries the husband who thinks will supply all her needs. Husband is also thinking she will supply all my desires. Both who come together with selfish motives, they cannot satisfy each other. Therefore there's divorce, or even not divorce, they live together in a state of constant war. Krishna. Thus he cannot satisfy anyone, therefore he is always lamenting and grieving deeply. He cannot support them properly, and the wife and family members do not treat him with any respect. So just like the farmer, when the old oxen becomes worn out, they chuck them out in the field. In the same way, despite such a situation, the foolish materialistic man never gives up his desires for happiness. Thus he becomes to old age. Because his teeth fall out, his family feed him like a dog, mashed potato. When he is old, he has no more wealth, he cannot produce any more wealth, therefore he's shuttled off to the old person's home. Afflicted with many illnesses, he cannot even eat. His senses become weak, he becomes an invalid. In that disease condition, many diseases afflict the body, his senses fail. At the end, he cannot even breathe. He makes a noise in the throat, grr, grr. In this way, he comes under the clutches of death. But even then, he cannot give up attachment to his family members. The family members also around him weeping at the time of death. He cannot speak because he is caught under the grip of time. Thus, that person with uncontrolled senses dies a pathetic death surrounded by his lamenting relatives. He dies in great pain without any consciousness at all. And that's just the that's just the warm up. At the time of death, the messengers of time, the Yamadutas, come for him. So I'm glad I got to tell some Yamaduta stories. We should not think these stories are fabricated. At the time of death, if you're very pious, everyone at the time of death has to meet Yamaraj. If you're very pious, Yamaraj comes to you with a very beautiful complexion. He takes you very happily to the kingdom of death, and there you get your next destination according to your activities. But if you've been a bad boy, then the Yamadutas come for you. At the time of death, the messengers of time come for him. They are very fearful. And in great fear, he passes stool and urine in his pants. These true stories. One time I remember I was reading, one devotee was distributing the sixth canto. Describes how Ajamil was taken by the Yamadutas. And this man at the airport, he had a suit and tie. And the devotee was trying to make him interested in reading. And that man was like, sure, buddy. So the devotee came to the picture where the Yamadutas are taking him. One Yamaduta has a hook, one has a rope, one has a hammer. Because the living entity is so much attached to this material body by body, mind, and words. There were one Yamaduta, he puts the hook in the subtle body, one pulls by the rope, and the other one, the hammer, breaks that attachment between the subtle body and the gross body. So the devotee at the airport was showing the pictures to this businessman. He turned to the picture where the three Yamadutas are taking the soul of Ajamil out of the body. That man passed stool in his pants and fell on the ground, right in front of the devotee. So the devotee was most interested. What happened? So he talked to the man. What happened to you? He said, I had a near-death experience. So first it was like everyone else. It was nice and white. Jesus was there. I was going up to heaven. But then I went past the next step. And three very ferocious persons came. And he was shaking and pointing, and that was exactly what they looked like. So don't think Prabhupada said these pictures, they're not imagination, they're windows to the spiritual world or windows to hellish world. If you know Krishna Kantaburu? No, what's his name? Kulashetra?
Kulashekar.
He told me a funny story. I was telling him some Yamaduta stories. He told me a new one. I put it in the file. He's telling when he was a devotee, as a kid, he was talking to one girl who tried to commit suicide by taking sleeping pills. And they came the last minute, pumped her guts out, and she lived. So all of the friends were asking her, what happened when you died? And she said, well, the room became smoky. Then someone came in with a noose and threw it around my neck and was trying to take me out of my body. And then they pumped the stuff out of her, and she came to life again. So we should not think these stories are not true. These stories are completely true. Even there's one devotee in our Sangha. You all probably may have heard the story. Anyway, but he's a disciple of Prabhupada, so his spiritual practices became a bit weak, to say the best. He gave up everything, but he never gave up the service of Tulsi. So he had a near-death experience, and the Yamadutas came for him also. He said he was trying to fight them, but there was like fighting with a brick, like an iron rod. The grip was like iron. Who can escape from the grip of time? No one. So he asked them, why are you taking me? What have I done wrong? And one Yamaduta showed his hand, his whole life flashed in the palm of his hand. Everything he'd done. So then he goes, okay, no objection. So he was thinking, there must be something to save me. And he remembered Tulsi Devi. He prayed, Tulsi. He could not even speak. Tulsi, Tulsi. And the Yamadutas dropped him and he came back in his body. So these stories are true. That time the Yamadutas take him. Means the gross body stays there, the body of stool and urine, but the soul covered by the mind, that is taken. Where does he go? That time he passes on a long path towards hell. That path is 99,000 yojana. A yojana is 8 miles. So what's 99 times? 99,000 times 8. 800,000 miles. Imagine walking 800,000 miles. That is not in the gross body, Charles. It's in the subtle body, Shukshma Suri. He has to path through hot sands with forest fires on both sides. He is constantly beaten by the Yamadutas who are behind him. He is afflicted by hunger or thirst, but he cannot take anything. There is no drinking water. There is no shelter. There is no place for rest. He passes that time in half a second, but it seems like millions of years. That time he comes to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj has the book of your activities. That's the Chitragupta. Chitra means picture, Gupta. Everything we do in our life, good and bad, that is seen by the Prabhupada. There's no dearth of witnesses to our activities. The sun is witnessing, the Supreme Lord in the heart is witnessing, even the demigods are witnessing all our activities. Therefore, how you can keep hidden anything from them? At the time of death, Yamaraj sees all your activities, good and bad, and according to your proportion of good activities or so-called sinful activities, you are given your next destination, your next birth. Therefore, according to the degree of sinful activities, that degree you are punished in hell. Hell is not eternal, Charles, don't worry. That much you've done bad, that much you are punished, not more and not less. Therefore, he describes the punishment in the hellish planets. But we'll get to that in the fifth canto. Thus, the man who has maintained himself by sinful activities, he is put into a hellish condition. He goes alone to the darkest regions of hell. His family members are not coming. They're coming afterwards. Thus, he leaves with nothing. Then he takes birth again. Kapiladev describes the what time is Aarti? Okay. I'll be 10 more minutes, Pujari. That time, if death was bad, you should think about birth. There are 8,400,000 different species of life. Jalajanava lakshanam, stavanam lakshabhimsati, krimirasankhya yudoko, pakshanam dasa lakshanam, chatur lakshani pasavam. 900,000 type of aquatic species. Stavanam lakshabhimsati. 2,000,000 type of plants, trees, creepers. Stavanam, they do not move, they're fixed. Krimyo sankarudyoko, 2,100,000 type of insect, bacteria, worm and germ. Pakshinam dasalakshinam. 1,000,000 type of birds. 1,300,000 type of four-legged animals. After one goes to the hellish planet, one goes from the bottom species up to the top. He passes through 8,000,000 species of life. Then finally again, that living entity gets the chance for the human form of birth. What happens? Under the direction of the Supreme Lord, the soul enters into rain and falls. By the direction of the Supreme Lord, that living entity will enter into a food grain. By the direction of the Lord, that food grain is eaten by a particular species of animal. By the direction of the Lord, the living entity, the soul, goes from the food grain into the semen and is injected into the womb of a mother. Therefore now, Kapiladev describes the birth in the human form. On the first night, the sperm mixes with the egg. On the fifth night, becomes like a bubble. On the tenth night, develops into the size of a plum and gradually turns into a lump of flesh if he's taking birth from a womb, or an egg if he's taking birth from an egg, like a lizard or a chicken. In the course of the first month, the head is formed. At the end of 2 months, the hands, feet, and other limbs take shape. By the end of the third month, the nails, fingers, hair, toes, and skin appear, as do the sexual organs. At the end of the fourth month, the body develops 7 layers: skin, muscle, flesh, bone, marrow, semen. At the end of 5 months, the living entity, the baby, feels hunger and thirst. At the end of 6 months, the baby begins to move. Thus, imagine the condition of the baby in the womb, forced to drink the abominable chewed up remnants of the mother. The fetus grows next to the stool bag of the mother, surrounded by stool and urine, constantly bitten by the parasites in the womb of the mother. Madhu looked on the internet the other day. Every American has 2 pounds or kilo. Every American has an average of 2 pounds of parasites in the body. And they are chewing on the baby in the womb, chewing the chewed, bitten again and again by the parasites in the womb, being burnt by the digestive fire of the mother. The child suffers intense agony moment by moment because of the tenderness of the skin. The mother eats salty, bitter or too much salsa in the frijoles. The child's body burns. He suffers miserably. He cannot move. His backbone is bent like a banana. Thus, like in a small cage, he suffers miserably. His head is turned towards his belly like a bow. The child thus remains trapped like a bird in a cage without any freedom of movement, but he has consciousness. At that time, if the child is fortunate, he can remember the activities of his last 100 births. That time, he prays. In that filthy place called the womb of the mother, we always do, you heard of rebirthing sessions? The womb is a nice, warm, squishy place. Forget it. It's hell. Thus, the living entity in such a hellish condition, his intelligence is awoken. And if he is fortunate, he can remember his last 100 births. In that condition, the child in the womb prays. If I take birth, I promise I'll do your bhajan. I'll serve you. I won't forget you again. That time, towards the 10th month, isn't it? The 9th month. The heirs in the womb of the mother force the child out, isn't it? Where's Mahalakshmi? She's gone. If birth to the mother, there she is. If birth to the mother is so excruciating, imagine birth to the child. I've heard when the baby's born, his head is shaped like a cone, like Star Trek or something. Because the bones and the head are not completely developed. They're soft. Therefore, in order to pass through the womb to take birth, the baby's... Am I making it up or is it true? You want to feel something gross? The babies have that little soft spot there. It's terrible. Therefore, such a pain, imagine your head was crushed into a cone. Such a pain is there at birth. That pain is like thousands of scorpion bites biting you. That pain is so intense, the child forgets his promise. He's born, immediately he's captured by Maya. And gets a slap on the ass. Welcome to the world. The pain of birth is so intense, he forgets everything. And he's captured by the spell of Maya. He has many desires, he cannot speak, therefore the parents always give him what he doesn't want. Therefore the baby, if he's not weeping, he's sleeping because so much of a miserable condition. He grows up, he goes to the hell called school. Again, he conflicts with many, many children. He has many millions of desires as his body develops. Again, the same thing, he chases the path of material enjoyment and again he does the same path. Therefore Kapila Dev calls this the movement of the living entities. Bhagawan Kapiladev ki jai. So if we're thinking of our spiritual practices becoming a little weak, just remember the baby in the womb. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Go Premanande. Bansha Kapil.